Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Ulupono Initiative and Ruby Tuesday Hawaii.
Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum. First up, let's welcome back The Catalyst by Lemomi Bong. In this segment, she'll talk about the evolving co-working environment.
This is The Catalyst brought to you by Bite Marks Cafe with Bert Lum. My name is Lemomi, and here is your weekly Tech Bite. Co-working didn't begin as a real estate venture. It began as an attempt to make independent work feel less lonely. In 2005, software engineer Brad Newberg opened one of the first modern co-working experiments in San Francisco. His goal was simple: exercising freedom while building community in a rigorous work environment. Hawaii found its own version in 2011 when Box Jelly opened. Then came The Hub, Vaivai Collective, The Entrepreneur's Sandbox, and many more. In spaces like this, membership meant more than a desk. It could look like a workshop after hours, a pitch night, participating in a hackathon, a soup club, or a conversation that changed the direction of someone's life. That was the real value, the unexpected encounters. What writer Steven Johnson calls a liquid network, a place where half-formed ideas have room to collide, recombine, and become something more. Now, that first generation of co-working is changing. Vaivai Collective closed last year, The Hub is winding down, and Box Jelly's longtime home at Ward Center faces demolition this summer. At the same time, a new generation is emerging across the islands with a different name: work clubs, innovation hubs, maker spaces, third spaces, and experiments in gathering. While co-working culture from Berlin to New York has been about boundary pushing, Hawaii's approach has always been about belonging. In today's economy and ecosystem, can we continue creating the conditions where people build things together intentionally? Companies, technology, convenings, and trust, the things that support radical futures we couldn't have imagined without this type of collision.
Mahalo, Lemomi. Now on today's show, we have Ian Kitajima, President and CEO, and Keith Matsumoto, Program Director over at PICTR, which is the Pacific International Center for High-Tech Research, and they're both here to talk about year two of Hawaii Wave. Hey, I want to welcome you guys to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thanks, Bert.
Thank you, Bert.
Well, has it been a year already since the first Hawaii Wave cohort?
Yeah. It's
Time goes by real fast.
Yeah. And by the way, congratulations.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On your retirement.
Retirement. It doesn't feel like I'm retired per se, but feel like I feel more energized because I can do a lot of interesting, creative things.
Right.
That's
right.
Good. We'll expect a lot out of you.
We'll put you to work.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Okay. So tell us a little bit about, you know, PICTR, and how did, you know, this Hawaii Wave concept develop? Yeah.
Well, you know, so PICTR has just this history of basically starting incubators. And so when Keith and I came over about 3 years ago, we started a program with the Japanese government called Bringing Their Best Technology Companies to Hawaii to learn how to work with the U.S. federal government. But in the process of doing that, you know, I'm sitting in this session and we've designed this program for all these amazing technology companies from Japan. And I'm sitting there going, you know, we should be doing this for our Hawaii companies.
Well, you know, I've had you on talking about JSTAR. And of course, one of the things I ask you about JSTAR is, what's the Hawaii connection?
Yes. Yeah, right? So that was kind of like, you know. And we actually asked the Japanese government, could we, you know, like, invite some Hawaii companies to just join in, because, you know, we're connecting them to all of these mentors and these potential customers. And they said, but, you know, this is for the Japanese company. So we basically took what we had designed for the JSTAR X program for these Japanese companies and actually redesigned it for Hawaii companies, went to HTDC, our friends at HTDC, and basically said, hey, you know, we should be doing this for Hawaii companies. We should be helping them get into the federal markets, working with Department of Defense. And that's how it started.
No, that's great. You know? And Keith, you know, so you're familiar with some of the other accelerators like Blue Startups, and, you know, you got Elemental Impact. How does the companies that you look for differ from those? Is this another perhaps sector in the marketplace that, you know, hasn't been addressed before?
So I think, you know, what Pictor's history has shown us is that companies don't know or don't realize how applicable what they have may be to the federal government, mm-hmm. and especially to the Department of Defense. And that's why we use the term dual use. Mm-hmm, it's both the commercial and to the government, or especially in the defense market, right? And so sometimes when you don't know, you don't realize that opportunity. Now, we don't try and make a company a defense contractor. Mm-hmm. These little companies are not going to compete with the Lockheed Martins of the world. But we try and help them develop themselves to be a look at the Department of Defense as a customer segment mm-hmm. that could potentially tap into their product lines.
Yeah, and you know, you said you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't know what it is that could potentially fit and you can help them identify that, mm-hmm. that's a new opportunity.
That's a totally new market.
Right. And you know, with the new age between AI and VR and XR and all that kind of stuff. I mean, one of our companies, Trigger XR, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. They're very successful in the commercial space, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is VR glasses and all that kind of stuff. Then they realize we could potentially do training for the federal government, mm-hmm. right? And that's something the federal government does today. But it's the process of doing that, the quality that they can provide, having experience within the commercial marketplace that they can then transfer into the Department of Defense that's so valuable.
No,
but you know, I was just going to say that our hardest part in our program is actually building on what Keith said, is they don't even know they have this huge potential to go into this other market. So they don't apply. Mm-hmm. So this is where we literally are talking to people and trying to find out what their business is and basically, I think you should apply. Like, because again, they only just see what the world they see, and they have, and that's why I like the example. And unfortunately, BodyMint had to drop out of our program. But I went specifically to them because I was like, BodyMint, which has been around for 25 years, you know, it's like a pill, a herbal supplement you take, and it makes you smell good, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. It helps with body odor. Well, guess what? When Keith and I, in our past life on the private side, and we went and actually interviewed Marines, U.S. Marines, who had just come back from Afghanistan, and we were trying to figure out, how do you guys wash your clothes and how do you stay clean? Mm-hmm. And they basically said, Ian, water's for drinking. It's not for bathing when you're in the desert. So I go, wait, but how do you take a bath? He goes, we don't. Like, we don't take a bath for like 2, 3, 4 weeks. I'm like, oh my God, you guys must smell so bad. But that's where like BodyMint, perfect.
Well, you know, and that brings me to another kind of question. And how do you find the customers that are going to be there so that the companies that you're putting in front of them are getting a sense as to what the need is? I mean, I know mm-hmm. you're helping to identify that, but how do you bring those customers into it so that they can express what the need is? But, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to hold that thought. We'll be right back in a short break to continue our conversation with Ian Kitajima, President and CEO, and Keith Matsumoto, Program Director over at Pictor. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, whose contributors help Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Honolulu Waldorf School.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1. I'm Bert Lum, and if you're just joining us, we're talking to Ian Kitajima. He's the president and CEO, and Keith Matsumoto, the program director over at the Pacific International Center for High-Tech Research. And right before the break, Ian, you know, you were explaining how you had talked to somebody in the military about deployment to Afghanistan and their experience. Are you finding, you know, the use cases, or are the customers that you're having come to hear these companies bringing their use cases? How do you find these customers that come into the dynamic at you know, that PACT conference, right?
And I'll let Keith talk about the PACT conference, but it's all of it, right? It's one of it. We always tell the companies, the more we understand your business, which means you have to understand your business. The more we understand, the more we can actually connect you. And that's the value for Keith and I, is like we bring like 30 plus years of experience. We have relationships all over the place, mm-hmm, in the military. Mm-hmm. We have relationships back into Korea, Japan, and other places. But part of it is we tell the companies, you got to explain what you're doing, and we got to constantly understand what you're doing so we can better like match you up to different customers and mentors. But the other one is we have all of these trusted people we've worked with over the last 30, 20 years or whatever it is, where we actually get those guys in front of, you know, in front of them, and those mentors listen to what these guys are doing and give them like direction, like, okay, you need to, let me connect you with this person or this person. It's all about mm-hmm, relationships mm-hmm. and networking. And so ultimately, when you look at it, it's really that. It's very simple in a way. It's like, you got to understand your business, and then these folks have to understand what you're doing, and those people who we trust will introduce you to other people. And then the big culminating all of this is really being designed around the PAC conference that mm-hmm. I'll let Keith kind of share.
Mm-hmm. So before we do that, you know, Bert, you mentioned Blue Startups previously, right? You know, Blue Startups, our work with them is their strength is their mentor network,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is the right. same thing with our program. It's just our program, our mentors are within the Department of Defense and other federal agency realm, those that work both on the continent and locally here. So, you know, that's where we can make these connections, right? But you also mentioned about use cases. And this is where it's really important, because at the PAC conference, which is going to be this year, it's going to be the first week of March in 2027.
Okay,
so it piggybacks on the post conference. But that's where the ability to match up technology to actual use cases becomes really important.
Mm-hmm.
Having a need is one thing, but the particular use of that need is what's really key. And that's what we try and work with the companies to better understand what they have yeah. and how it can be applied and what are the potential use cases that can be of value to the military and other agencies.
Now, what I've observed about the, you know, JSTAR X and the Hawaii Wave, in the JSTAR X companies, these companies are at the cutting edge of technology. And the ones that I've been exposed to are at the real kind of like leading edge. And so I can see where they present their technologies, and then some of the customers in the audience might say, oh, that's pretty novel. I want right. to, you know, maybe yeah. partner up with them.
Yeah.
The Hawaii Wave companies are more typically not thinking about the cutting edge sort of, well, but they may be, but they're emerging, right? But but like Bodyment as an example, it's kind of like maybe more of a lifestyle kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and of course, you know, in the JSTAR environment, you have government helping to fund some of their development as well. And the local companies are pretty much self-funding what they're trying to do, right? So there's a little different level of advancement.
Yeah.
Right. So you guys gotta find the right fit, because when you bring them all together at PAC, right, you got the same customer looking at cutting edge stuff, perhaps.
Yeah.
But then they also have to still look at where's the intersection between, you know, the companies that might come out of Hawaii Wave.
And one of the Hawaii Wave objectives is also to develop the companies enough that they can join, for example, HTDC's SBIR program.
Mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm,
can apply mm-hmm, for federal Small Business Innovation Research grants and then work within that HTDC system. So, for example, Second Wave Technologies,
mm-hmm.
Chad Kumabe, was part of our cohort, but he actually has an SBIR and is part of the HTDC SBIR program. And so that type of kind of alignment between PICTER and HTDC is so important
mm-hmm.
in this development of the technology ecosystem.
But you know, the kind of building on what just Keith said, the like Chad is a U.S. So Chad is, and Second Wave is actually doing work with U.S. Department of Defense. They're a U.S. company, right? And they're doing some really cutting edge stuff with artificial intelligence. But the thing that I'm trying to make sure, and what we're trying to do in the program is connect the Hawaii Wave program with the JSTAR X program and those cohorts, right? Because, for example, these Japanese companies, if they want to come into the market, the smartest thing they can do
is partner
with the U.S. company that's already doing the work with the Department of Defense and go, hey, Chad, hey, you guys are doing AI, and hey, my company's doing this. Hey, can we come up with like a some kind of crazy new idea that we can go after funding in the U.S. market, because that's the easiest way for those companies from Japan to actually come into the U.S. market.
Now, since you're talking about some of the, you know, cohort one out of Hawaii Wave, what are some success stories that you might be able to share? I mean, and basically what I'm thinking about is, after they've gone through the program, after you've helped make some connections, are there some things that are happening that take them down this path of actual do-use activity?
Yeah, I think, you know, in all of this, right, and we tell the companies when we start with them is, you know, we're going to be working with you for several months, but the actual work starts when you leave the program, right? And so, and this is, I think, one of the big insights we've gained over the last couple, 3 years doing both the Japanese program and the Hawaii program is actually the collaborations they actually create among themselves, right? So like Ali at Blue Dot and their incredible AI company, you know, collaborating with Chad folks, you know, like they're actually, those are in many ways the opportunities. And we tell them too, your early stage opportunities may be more commercial. Like, right, it's not going to necessarily be Department of Defense initially, because that may take 2 or 3 years, right? And so we even tell them, don't put all your eggs in that basket. You have to continue to focus on your commercial business, keep growing that. But now that you've met these other companies and these Japanese companies, what can you do together that you can't do by yourself? And that's really, I think, the opportunity in front of them. And so at some level, when we're choosing companies, we're looking for those companies that actually want to look at collaborations, want to continue to grow their business here in Hawaii, as well as, you know, again, kind of taking those first steps into the Department of Defense market. And so this is where, you know, I think more and more we're going to help them do more CBERS and more proposal writing and things where it's like very, very, like, very easy to measure those kinds of activities. So
Keith, I mean, some of the companies that are now kind of part of your alumni group and collaborations could be resulting from that. Are there, what is Picture thinking about in terms of bringing them together? I mean, you have distinct, you know, cohort one, cohort two, but is there like an alumni kind of thinking on on getting them together?
Well, let me talk about the JSRX program. So we're developing, we're going to be going into the fourth cohort, hopefully. And we have sort of this alumni group. And Ian and I met with somebody who's here actually participating in RIMPAC, who's one of our graduates. And this is a company who was novel, where some of our mentors basically thought this guy was crazy. But it's a cardboard drone company.
Right, I heard that. That was kind of like from last year, a couple years ago.
Yeah,
right.
But they're actually demonstrating at RIMPAC and have multi-million dollar contracts from the Japanese Self-Defense Forces, and is also going to be partnering with one of our companies from the last cohort. And so that's the type of partnership energy we want to develop within the Hawaii Wave company, but also, if at all possible, cross between Hawaii Wave and JSTAR-X. That's the benefit of this kind of development of this long-term kind of hui of groups, right? Kind of a ohana, picture ohana of dual-use companies that we're trying to develop.
So the cardboard drone company, are they partnering or collaborating with a Hawaii company, or is it with another?
No, they're under the sponsorship of the Japan Self-Defense Forces that are participating with the U.S. and other allied nations in RIMPAC exercises.
You know, we're hoping that maybe in this second cohort for Hawaii Wave, there are some materials companies as part of that group, hopefully, that those materials could be used to augment the cardboard drone company. So again, you know, part of it is we're looking at this always holistically. So even as we look for the next group of Hawaii Wave companies, we're trying to play the tapes forward of, like, who to be selecting.
Well, and I think this is a good opportunity to share a little bit about what you look for in the next cohort. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at a short break to continue our conversation with Ian Kitajima, President and CEO, and Keith Matsumoto, Program Director over at Picture. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to Ulupono Initiative.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1, And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Ian Kitajima, President and CEO, and Keith Matsumoto, Program Director over at the Pacific International Center for High-Tech Research. And we're talking about year two of the Hawaii Wave program. And Ian, you were kind of talking about what you're looking for in the next cohort of companies. And I think you have a pretty good idea as to what some of those characteristics might be. So why don't you share what you're looking for? And maybe sure. There's companies out there listening thinking, hey, I can fit that, you know, that role.
Yeah. And I'll let Keith chime in too, because I think, you know, I think it's easy to just kind of go, hey, you know, I'm looking for AI companies, materials company, you know, deep tech companies that have been doing tons of research. But I just gave that example of Body Mint. Right. Mm-hmm. Company's been around for like 25 years. They make a product, right? So, you know, they could be a much more mature company with a more mature product. At the same time, we know that there are a lot of young emerging companies in Hawaii that have a huge potential. But most times programs like ours and other programs won't take you until you have a lot more experience. Mm-hmm. But at some level, we're trying to balance that. And I guess part of how we're balancing that is really about the people, the person, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the founder, the CEO. Like, are they like a lone wolf where they just want a lone ranger where they just want to do it their way and they don't want to work with anybody? They have all the answers. Then those are probably not the people we want.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Keith, yeah. what's your thought on this?
Well, I think understanding that partnership is important and that we want to develop this ability to collaborate and work together. And that understanding that, you know, they have their full-time job running their company. So they have to make a commitment because we're going to ask them to do homework, right? They're going to be things we'll work with them to develop. But, if we're looking at specific segments, I think we want to be supportive of HCDC's strategic areas of focus, which include ocean tech and ag tech and health tech, mm-hmm. AI and advanced manufacturing. So companies within those spaces will probably have a larger opportunity in terms of not only the support from PICTER, but also HTDC and the overall development of the tech industry in the state.
Now, I'm curious, you know, you mentioned ocean, and last in cohort one, you had sea asparagus, and they were kind of ocean because mm-hmm. they have mm-hmm. basically, you know, kind of these aqua, not aquaponics, but, you know, how did they fare in the mentoring and development of their company position yeah. for dual use?
So I think when the founder came into the program, he felt he had something, but he didn't know what he had. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect example.
Yeah.
And so we actually helped work with him on the development of using sea asparagus mm-hmm. for a desalination technology, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. where potentially he created a small prototype mm-hmm. that he can then demonstrate and look at opportunities for sale.
And actually, the Trigger XR guys, who are, you know, the 3D, you know, kind of gurus on this, helped him actually develop some 3D models and animations to explain this desalination concept. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that I thought that was just a great example of cohort members helping each other uh-huh, to communicate, uh-huh. right? Whereas these guys are communication experts, you know, they help to like take, you know, complex ideas and actually explain it in a way people can understand. Mm-hmm. So they took this, you know, that sea asparagus approach and basically made it so somebody can understand it. So I thought that was really positive.
And so what is involved in the actual application process? I mean, is it is it arduous? I mean,
yeah.
And then you guys don't take any kind of investor interest in any
so,
of these.
So we're right? running... For HCDC, right, so this is a business service approach. So basically, we're providing these services free of charge thanks to HTDC and the state of Hawaii for these companies. And mm-hmm. so we don't take any equity, but we also don't give you any investment. Okay, mm-hmm. So you're not going to get investment or
so
anything
So in other
us.
Words, you're not going to get any money.
You're not going to get any money from us, but you will get, I think, things that are even more valuable long term. Now, at the same time, short term, we want to make sure, like, when you leave the program, you have those relationships. And part of it, I think we're going to, what really everybody wanted from the first cohort, what the feedback we got is, you know, we everything was done virtually. We did everything online. So you can be anywhere in the state of Hawaii. So the majority of the program is done online, mm-hmm. right? But what we heard a lot from the cohort was, you know, we really wanted to be together. So the more we got together, the more they liked it. Okay. Now, the application process you're mentioning, it is a thorough process. The more information you put into it, the better, because part of it is we need that to help evaluate who you are. And again, it's not just like, you know, like I have 20 years of experience. It's like, tell us about you. Tell us about your business. Tell about us what you're trying to do, because that's going to help us do the evaluation. Because also, too, if you get selected, that information helps us to match you up to mentors. So we have all these mentors that we then want to match you up to.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have good information, it's hard for us to do that. So
does the Hawaii Wave cohort overlap with the JSTARx? And you do them they are overlapping.
Well, Hawaii Wave will start earlier. Yeah. We'll have an intensive period with the JSTARx program, but there will be some overlap in Hawaii toward the end of February as we move into the PAC conference. So some of the overlap will be preparing both cohorts mm-hmm. to present at PAC. So at the PAC conference, that's like their final exam.
Mm-hmm.
That's their pitch session. That's their opportunity to connect with potential customers from various federal agencies, especially the DOD,
mm-hmm.
and also
mm-hmm.
foreign governments. And so it's really the central kind of deliverable at the end of the day for both programs.
Now, are you focusing primarily for Hawaii Wave to be Hawaii companies?
Yes.
Yes.
So you're not opening
yeah.
it up to
no.
anybody else from the no. continent?
Yeah.
Or?
No. No.
And for me, one of the main evaluation is what is their commitment to Hawaii? We don't want to help this company and, oh, we're going to be successful and then we're going to go move to California, Silicon Valley, or Utah, or wherever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
mean, we're trying to build an ecosystem in the state. That's what HCDC is trying to do. That's what PICTER is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want companies committed to staying in Hawaii, developing the workforce, developing their technology, and really helping Hawaii.
And we're only going to select 7 companies this time around. So it's a much less than the first time.
Okay, so and you said that, you know, they like virtual is okay, but they like in-person.
In-person.
So what is it that you want to do in-person?
Well, a lot of it is the cohort themselves, they want to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So though we're always online, they wanted to actually physically be together, but also they wanted to meet the mentors physically as well. And so now we do have people who are Hawaii people that is living on the continent that have applied, that want to come back to Hawaii or establish some kind of operation in Hawaii. So we will look at those applications.
Okay. Right.
And we have talked to people.
Okay. So when does this application period open?
It opens now. So we just opened it up. You just have to go to hawaiiwave.org. So hawaiiwave.org. And
when does this actually close?
So we're going to probably keep the applications open for a couple of weeks. So it's going to be, and then we're, you know, trying to get the word out. We're going to blast out to all of our network, all over the state. Again, because we want companies from every island. Last year, we had primarily from Maui
mm-hmm.
and Oahu, but we want to see Big Island, Kauai, Molokai, Lanai, please apply. And the program is designed for busy founders.
Okay, so where can people go again?
HawaiiWave.org.
Good, I'll put that up on our show notes. Ian Kitajima is Tech Sherpa, President and CEO. And of course, Keith Matsumoto, Program Director over at PICTER. Hey guys, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Bert. Congratulations again on your return.
Thank you. And of course, thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk to Gordon Bruce about his new book called Dragons at the Gate. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong, and you can catch us on HBR One every Friday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Anchor Systems Hawaii.